If you do use your phone, don't look up your emails or check the weather. Say amen. Keep it focused. Isaiah chapter 9. I've entitled this message, The Christmas Story. Many of you know this portion of Scripture. Isaiah chapter 9. I want to start with verse 6. And it's good to see Peggy here this morning. Amen. How you doing, Peggy? Doing good? Okay. Amen. I do. Amen. Somebody give Peggy a hug, would you? Somebody give Peggy a hug. We love Peggy. She's awesome. Amen. Isaiah chapter 9. I want to start with verse 6. It says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." In verse 7, "The increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon his father's throne, David, he shall order it." When I look at this portion of Scripture, notice it starts off Wonderful Counselor. Really, these two words work together. It's like this. He's the Wonderful One who gives counsel, and his counsel is wonderful. I know that you can come to the Lord and he can make you wise. Generally, if you go for counsel, you're looking for some wisdom that may not have in the natural yourself. I want you to know that God's pretty smart. I said, I want you to know God's pretty smart. And I want you to know that he can help you in every area of your life. Do you know he can make you better at your job? I said, he can make you better at your job. How many knows he can make you a better father or mother or student? All these things, he's wonderful. And more than that, he can open the Scriptures up to us and teach us. He's a wonderful teacher. When you think about how awesome God is, one of the things that I always reflect on is that God is so awesome and so infinite that it'll take us a forever just to know some of what he knows, and take us another forever to get a little more, and it'll take us a forever and forever, and we'll still never get it all, but thank God we're on that road. Say amen. And when I look at his vast power, think about it. In 7 days, really 6 days, he created all that we see and know. Then he rested on the Sabbath. Think about how long he's been working on heaven for us all. How complete that's going to be. Hallelujah. And when you get there, you're going to go, Lord, how did you know? Oh, because you're the Lord. Amen. When I think about sitting down with him, and he'll have time for you. That's why he removed the clocks. Can you imagine Jesus sitting if you have a dining room table and there's the Lord? Say amen. I've said this before. Can you imagine if Moses and Joshua and Caleb and Jesus all just came over your house? I mean, that'd be pretty good company. And they're just going to be just as blown away with you being there. Are you hearing me? They're going to be just as impressed as you being there because you've overcame by the blood of the Lamb. And our testimony, what was it like to live for God in this godless age? That we now are born here this time. That God knew what he was doing. So I'm here to tell you, you can make it. When I think about God's depth in his infathomable goodness, even angels long to look into those things. If you're taking notes, in 1 Peter 1, verse 12, he has similar titles in Jeremiah 23, verse 6, in Isaiah 11, verse 4, that he's truly the Lord our righteousness. When I look at Jesus, he is a king. He reigns in righteousness. In Isaiah 32, verse 1, I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures here. In Isaiah 59, verse 17, all these talk about the Lord our righteousness. His name shall be called. How many of us we need to call him too? Look at this verse here. Jesus shall be called the Mighty God. It's the power to accomplish his purposes. He's the true hero. He's the first superhero I ever met. Amen. Say amen. We have a lot of them today, and there's a lot of shows about it, but I'm here to say he's the only one that conquered death, hell, and the grave. Every religious leader has died. He's the only one that came back. Hallelujah. And I often marvel at how well we can work and know him, but still operate in unbelief. Didn't he tell him over and over, in 3 days I'm rising from the dead? Didn't he tell him? He even used the illustration, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the whale, so shall I be in the heart of the earth. But yet nobody really believed it. Here, I'm going to make this statement. To really believe biblically, you need to have the Holy Ghost in you. Say amen. When you get the Holy Spirit in you, you can start to put away unbelief. Now, how many would be blown away if you went to the funeral for Jesus, you saw him die on the cross, and all of a sudden you saw him on the street corner? I'd be like, kind of looks like him. What if all of a sudden you were having a little gathering at your house, your doors were shut, and all of a sudden Jesus appears in your room? How many would be flat blown away? When I look at doubting Thomas, but it's always got to be Thomas, all right? Like I shared before, it's not peeping Tom either, all right? It's peeping Jim or whatever. Can you imagine all of a sudden, here's Jesus. Now, when I look at Thomas, he says, I won't believe unless I touch. What if you weren't there and all of a sudden everybody said, I saw the Lord. But you already knew that he passed away. I mean, you'd be like, I need to see him too. Sometimes we look at Scripture and go, well, I wouldn't have done that. I'd believe right away. I kind of wouldn't have been that person. I'd want to believe, but say amen. But the Bible says, blessed are those who have not seen and still believe. But when you have the Holy Spirit in there, he's just as real as if you saw him face to face. Now our faith has become sight. Hallelujah. And one day you will see your Savior face to face. When you look at this term, mighty God, it needs to be looked at in two points like this. The first, the Old Testament. It meant mighty God. The term was like this, an infinite expanse, the absolute Godhead. When you get to the New Testament, it's the fulfillment of the resurrection and the ascension. I want you to know that we have a mighty God. He's the infinite expanse, but he's also the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. In Romans 1 verse 4 says this, and to be declared the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. When I look at this power, think about it. Could death hold him? No way. If death held him, he wasn't God. But he says, I'm alive forevermore. The tomb they laid him in, he even had to send angels there. Say, look, he's not here. You guys are kind of wasting some time here. This was just a borrowed tomb. There's no decay with him. He's alive. Say amen. Even the angelic host had to come in and help our unbelief. Oh, say amen. Listen to me. I shared this with the first service. If God gives you a word, and it's a word of the Lord, you can bank on it coming to pass. Sometimes you have to trust him during the times where nothing is happening. When it seems like it's the darkest hour, you still have to trust him. He will come through for you. If God's given you a word, he will perform his word with signs following. Look at this part of the scripture. He shall be called the everlasting Father. In the Old Testament, it states Jehovah, the true Father of Israel. Isaiah 63 verse 16. When you get to the New Testament, he becomes the second Adam, the mediator. He's now our Father. Jesus' desire was this, that you know your Father. I go to my Father and your Father. He wanted to reveal him. Jesus said, have you seen me? You know what he's like. I'm just like him. And more than anything in Scripture, we need to get to know our Heavenly Father. It's awful quiet in here. I mean, it should be a quest of our life. Jesus has given us access to the very throne. But we need to know our Father. When we know our Father, how many of those things can happen for us? And as children, we have rights. Satan doesn't. I said we have rights. Satan doesn't. He's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that works in those who are disobedient. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. As sons and daughters of the Most High, you know what? We need to also take back what the enemy has tried to steal and has stolen in our lives. The Bible says that to bind the strong man, one has to be stronger. I mean, you got the Holy Spirit in you. That makes you stronger. I mean, sometimes the enemy tries to come and steal our families. Tried to steal our joy. Now, I want you to be honest in here. How many have had a battle in your mind sometime during this year? Let me see your hand. How many ever felt the spirit of heaviness come upon? Maybe a bad report or this happened. How many of that's real today? We all experience those things. But there are times that we have to come against those. Sometimes we got to grab a hold of that and say, you know what? Today's the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Sometimes you got to speak to those things. Say amen. Amen. Listen, the Bible says this. If you know when the enemy was going to come, you'd have made sure the doors were locked. True? I mean, I said sometimes the enemy's crafty. He'll try to attack you when you're at your weakest. Amen. Keep that armor on. Hallelujah. You'll be able to defend everything. Jesus said, as I've overcome, so shall you. Do you know what? We're not left comfortless either. If you've went through a situation that's tough, God will still be with you. And I'm here to tell you, He'll weep with you if you need to be wept with. Say amen. He rejoices with you too. I really feel this, that when a breakthrough happens for anyone, He's just as happy as you are. I'm serious. He wants it more than anything. And one thing that I do know is that He hates the effect of sin upon all of us. He never designed us for sin. He never designed us for that. This body was never made for that. But I want you to know that He's redeemed. Hallelujah. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We still have struggles in this flesh, but hear me on this. I want to walk in every promise He has given me while I'm on planet Earth. Is there anybody with me? Amen. I can't stop the last one. That one day God will deal with that. But the truth is I can walk in the rest. Oh, that's good preaching today. Amen. Notice Jesus shall be called the Prince of Peace. He stands the head of His kingdom. He has eternal peace. He's founded upon this fact that even on King David, He says, I'm going to build my throne upon my father David. Everywhere He goes, it also has a combination between David and King Solomon. David was a man of war. Listen to me, after things were conquered, Solomon walked in peace in the nations. I mean, Jesus is the same way. He made war against the enemy, and now we have that peace, the Prince of Peace. And one day, even in this planet, I share with the first service, we're entering us soon. We're still in the church age. When the full book of Revelation starts to kick in, the greatest description I can give it is this, is God bringing the earth back under subjection under Him. That's the best example I can give. The Bible says what's going to happen upon the planet will be so unbelievably awful, there'll never be another day like it. Say amen. And one day He will return. And when He returns, He's not coming as a babe. He's not coming for die for sin. He's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day He will lay down all rule and it'll be His way and His way only. There'll be no committees. There'll be no Republicans. There'll be no Democrats. There'll be no independents. It'll be Him and Him alone. And we shall serve Him and we shall reign with Him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! We need to start looking up. Our redemption draws near. We can't get so focused on the present. We have to look to the eternal. Say amen. When it comes to peace, how many knows we all need peace in our families? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I have a rule in my home. It is so simple. If you come over, you're welcome. If you bring turmoil, we're going to change that. Or you're going to go. Say amen. How many of us, we need peace in our home. We have to have that. Now that doesn't mean we don't deal with issues or pray for people. It's nothing like that. But each one of you need a place where there's peace in your home. Somebody need to say amen. There's enough in this world. You need to find that place where there's peace. And believe me, with all that's going on, you need to get with the Prince of Peace. I found that heaven is peaceful. Do you know that? Is Jesus in heaven stressing? Did He know that all that was going to come upon us in this year? Yes or no? And here's the next thing. We can't put our hope in just an antidote or a vaccine. Our hope has to be in the Lord. Now, I thank God for medical breakthroughs. Don't get me wrong. I do. But we also need to trust in the Lord. Say amen. We need to pray for individuals. To me, the virus has separated more people than brought them together. Amen? I don't like it when I can't go see my father and they stop me at the door and they tell me I can't go in. I don't like that. I don't like that. I mean, that's affected everybody here. The truth is that, Lord, change this. Hallelujah. We need to do more praying than complaining. Say amen. Look at verse 7. And the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I like that. There's increase in his government. He shall reign. And you know what the Bible said? We shall reign with him. That means there's going to be a gifting and an anointing upon us that's going to teach us how to reign with Christ. We'll fulfill that proper area. But when we have the greatest teacher, we have the Holy Ghost within, he's able to take a group of individuals and make them mighty warriors. To be able to do things we could never do in the natural, he'll equip us. And one of the areas in being equipped for the next stage in life is God changing our character. Our character needs to change. We need to be more like him, because the more we become like him, the more usable we are for the master. We become fit for his service. Okay, I got one amen. How many want to change? I don't want to stay the same. With all this virus, I want you to know that sometimes idle hands end up doing terrible things. And idle eyes end up watching things you probably shouldn't. Say amen. The other day, my wife and I saw some kids sledding on a little mini hill. I thought that was awesome. And I wonder how many parents are like, get outside. Amen. The truth is that I enjoyed seeing them, and they were having fun. Remember when you had fun as a kid and you had no responsibilities? You could care less and you threw snowballs at everybody. I threw snowballs at everybody. I threw them at cars. I threw them at people. I threw them at adults. I threw them at students. Oh, you were all perfect children, weren't you? I shared with you. I was a little guy on the street block that we were at. And I remember I got to be pretty good at throwing, pretty good at aiming. I played baseball for a while. And man, I threw this snowball like from here, like where the parking lot is. And I hit this older boy. And he was like, to me, anybody that was in high school when you were little was old, amen? College people were like, you're ancient, all right? And I remember hitting this college or high school guy. I whacked him good. And then he turned around and he glared at me. Ugh. And like, uh-oh, I'm a little guy. And he starts running at me. And I start running down the block. And I'm looking for somebody's house to duck into. It's wintertime. Everything's shut. No garage I can run in. And I can hear him coming behind me. And getting closer and closer. And I'm like, oh, no. He finally reached out and he grabbed me. And he pulled me out something like this. Ah, horse collar tackle. Ah! And he grabbed snow and he just shoved it in my face. You know what I mean? I got what I deserved. Say amen. I probably shouldn't have threw it at him. It was a good shot, though. All right? It was good. But I got what I deserved. There was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide, and I was caught. And I was amazed how quick I was caught, too. How many of us that we all got caught in sin? Say amen. But Jesus has redeemed us. He's so wonderful. Now all of us can call him Savior. He's my Savior. He's redeemed me from sin. In Luke 2 verse 11 says, unto us today is born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Jesus didn't evolve into Savior. He grew. He was the Savior. I said he was the Savior. In Luke 1 verse 32, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him his throne of his father David. When I look at Jesus today, I celebrate Christmas that he is my Savior. Hallelujah. I can make a joyful noise. As the world tries to him out, I'm here to say you can't take Christ away from me. In every store I keep hearing happy holidays. That's nice in general. But I'm always replying, no, Merry Christmas to you. It is a Merry Christmas. And it's amazing when somebody steps out in faith, how many poor people will say Merry Christmas to you. Sometimes they're afraid to speak those words. You be bold. What's the worst thing somebody's going to do to you? Arrest you? Throw you in jail? I mean, that's what we just need to speak the truth. Amen? It's a Merry Christmas. Amen. And if it isn't Merry for you, you got to find out why. It's not found in a bottle. It's not Barbie and Ken. We're giving God glory from beginning to end. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a Merry Christmas. But He's called Savior. Savior and Lord. This Christmas time, I want you to put away some things. Maybe have a moment before people show up and thank your God. Begin to reflect back. In every life that I've ever met, there are great heights and there are also valleys. And in the midst of all that, we find our life. If you find yourself in a valley, you know what? It's not forever. Hallelujah. All of us come visit the valley sometime. You'll find somebody that you can hold your hand for a moment. Say amen. And let's walk up that trail that gets a little higher. And those that are on the heights, things are great, things are prosperous, things are glorious. Those are great too. Rejoice with somebody who has that area. One of the greatest joys I have, my wife and I, is when prayers are answered. It's like we're just as happy as the person who got it. Even though I know they're more happy, but we're just as happy. Oh, Lord, bless them. Thank you, Lord. We also have the time where there's tears too. The times when somebody has gone on to be with the Lord, the loss of someone, those are difficult times that we can spend a moment and be there and say, look, we want to be, what can we do? Church, I appreciate your loving heart and attitude. When there's an outreach, you participate. If you're unable to go, you'll send something or make a way. Everything we do in this church, we want to reach out and make a difference. We want somebody blessed. Amen. My heart's desire is to see all our families come to know the Lord. Let's pray. How many can believe God for a move? Amen. It seemed like we had a year of derailment. We have had a year of isolation. But I'm here to say God's still working. Hallelujah. To me, it just made our times to get together more sweet than ever. Would you agree? Amen. You had that longing in there like, hey, I want to have this. Well, let's pray also. There are many of our saints that aren't able to be with us for different reasons. Let's pray we can all come back together this year without a COVID mask. Say amen. Amen. That we can actually see how beautiful we all are. Well, at least me. Amen. Glory to God. No, just kidding. Amen. And as I close this message today, we also need to tell others about His goodness. Can you imagine Mary? And she's going to be fun to meet. Now, being a new mom, can you imagine all of a sudden you have to bear the Christ child? How many think that adds a little bit of pressure to it? Amen? You're figuring out how to be mom, and now you got to take care. How many think that's pretty unbelievable? What if all of a sudden one day all a bunch of wise men come, some rich rulers come over your house and drop a whole bunch of stuff off because the father's going to take care of his own kid? Say amen. How many think that you'd be blown away by that? What if all of a sudden he's 2 years old and younger and all of a sudden somebody wants to take his life because the king orders everybody to be killed and you got to go live in another country? How many think that adds some pressure? When I look at Mary and Joseph, she had to be a great lady. Hallelujah. But we don't worship her. She said, I rejoice in God my Savior. She was just a vessel for the body of the Lord. But as you come into this Christmas time, maybe you have family that still doesn't know. How about lead off in a prayer? Lord, touch. Lord, work in my family. Let them know that you care about them. I mean, it was that they can drop their guards. Sometimes the hardest people to reach is your own family. They know who you are. They know you're saved. But continue to stoke that up. Continue to look for opportunities. A little seasoning. Too much salt makes them gag. But a little seasoning is just good. Let's look for those opportunities. Because He's alive. Hallelujah. He's alive. And as we spend that time with Him, I want you to know that glorious things are going to happen. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You. And Lord, we thank You that truly You are a wonderful counselor. Truly You are a mighty God. A Prince of Peace. And Lord, we know one day all the governments will be upon your shoulder and you shall reign forever and ever. Father, I pray for your people, Lord God, a glorious Christmas for each one. Lord, for those saints that have went on before us, we thank you for their life. But God, restore the joy. Restore the joy of the salvation. Lord, for those that are in a valley, lift them up, O God. Lord, those on a mountaintop, Lord, let us rejoice together. And Lord, we ask you, I want you to begin to believe this. Touch our families. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that this coming year can be a mighty harvest in our own families. Lord, we come against this virus in the land. We curse it now in Jesus' name. Lord, help us, Lord God, that we can all assemble again in your house, serving you with one heart and one mind. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one, Lord God. Let them have a blessed Christmas in Jesus' name. Amen.